John F. Kennedy Library President's Office Files. Presidential Recordings Collection. Tape number 85, Reel 1. 6 minutes, 47 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The four excisions have been indicated. For additional information, please see recording log number 85. Excision 1. 19 seconds excised.
We'll fire all their singing, rushing you up. Well, it's really, but anyway, I don't know what to note. I, for some reason, have been under an illusion. The two things going along the track. I don't know if it's true, but right now, it's just that either it's succeeding or the bill might succeed, or, but at least, therefore,
that's quite true. We said we would encourage it and support it, but I don't think we ever or ever intended to enter into any commitment that we would actually contribute to the mixed man force. I mean, I think there are good reasons why we should, but we didn't commit ourselves at that time. And it might be, I mean, it might be, in fact, be better from the point of view of your dealings with the Germans and the Italians if the Prime Minister simply came straight out and said, it seems certain that there will be an election within a year, and I don't think any British government at this stage in its career ought to enter into this what is obviously going to be a long-term commitment, and this is ought to be something that's decided by a government after the election.
Well, the only thing is, it would seem to me that there's a good chance. What I think is, if the British don't join, there's a chance it will be stillborn. If it is, and that it will all sort of, the German, the Italians are in trouble anyway, yeah. So that it we just may have to call an end to it. Then I would think that the Germans would feel that this thing which they agreed to go along with is sort of pulled out from under us. They'd be much more responsive to European nuclear force or some division of labor by General de Gaulle, which is what he keeps hinting at.
I think this is a good thing. What we have said is we'll provide facilities, and I think what George Ball was saying this morning was, well, couldn't we boost up these facilities, and although we would try and make it look like a 10% contribution, in fact, in practical terms, for you, it would be very much less. If you were providing bases anyway for your Polaris submarines, you would build the bases which would also serve the ships, and perhaps you could build some of the ships. Perhaps you can provide some of the warheads. I think all that would need looking into. What we have said is that if this force is set up, we will certainly hope to provide help and facilities for it. But that takes as far as we've gone up to now.
David, if not financially, so it's such a terribly brutal affair. You come right down and count it up, but you're talking something for, say, a 15% contribution, you'd be talking about maybe 50 million pounds a year. Not that much.
50 million pounds.
30 million pounds a year.
About 75 million pounds. About 10%, he said today was $50 million.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a dollar a year per
citizen. Well, I mean,
we better decide. Whether, around 50 million, or whether we scale it around someplace where maybe it's $25 or $30 million, which isn't very, very much. And then you come in, say, for 10%, whether politically that's a good thing. If it is a lot of a force and this arrangement with the Germans is not a good thing, then I really shouldn't join. If it is a good thing, then it seems to me you ought to be part of it.
Yeah.
I think that's the point. And if you're not a part of it, then we have to decide what the effect of that would be. Either we can go ahead with the Germans, Italians, maybe Belgians, Dutch, or we can just call it off and say that the British decided not to join, which presents problems. Now, it may be that we never should have gotten into this, but everybody, I must say, I have proceeded on the assumption that while the British were more enthusiastic and more particularly interested with the paragraph with the national nuclear force, that there was certainly an acquiescence to the
relations with Germany bad. I mean, I can see all kinds of very good things. If this war was set up, we should be following it.
Well, it seems to me that may be the way the Prime Minister should handle it, just say we, we're not talking about much money, so that's not really the problem.
It is a problem for us in that we've already committed ourselves to more expenditure than we'd intended to at the beginning of the year. Looking at our defence budget over the next 5-10 years, we are already jumped up as a result of the national decisions. I think in the present atmosphere in England, if you then said, and in addition to that, we've entered into a commitment to take one slice of the mixed man force, that would be, then he'd be violently attacked, saying this is all kinds of commitments to international forces, which you've never explained at the time. And this is additional money, even if it was really not a very large sum, even if it amounted to any £20-30 million a year. But I think it's worth having a good argument with him about it, because I think the political reasons for, if this is going to get off the ground, the political reasons for Britain making a contribution are very strong indeed.
And if it isn't going to get off the ground, not having it look like it didn't get off the ground because the British didn't want to join, when at least I would think a lot of people have a general impression, which has been similar to mine, that there was an endorsement of the Bottle-Allen concept at Nassau. I'd like to get the language.
There is an endorsement of
the language.
What David is saying is that the Prime Minister didn't see multilateral in terms of a specific kind of force at that.
No, not the paragraph 6,
multinational. What is paragraph 8?
It says,
there's nothing in paragraph 8. But certainly there's nothing there. There's nothing in paragraph 8 that uses multilateral in the term mixed man force. It talks about the multinational forces being composed of your forces, our Polaris submarines,
and what's the difference between that and paragraph 6?
Wasn't very much.
But why did we restate it?
Because forces we already have, this is looking some years ahead, and there would be something called the multilateral force. Our contribution.
But I thought the whole point of putting all that in was because we were trying to do something for the non-nuclear powers. That's why I thought we put the in.
That's right. And I think the January history does show that pretty clearly. It became clear the moment we got going that we had two tracks. One was what we now call the IAM, and the other the mixed man multilateral force. And we were, one was more your baby and the other was more ours, but we were each back, and the other was ours too.
I think what we've got to do is we don't want this thing to, we don't want to give the Prime Minister a lot of political problems. On the other hand, if possible, we don't want it to fail, because he'll have political problems. As you know, you always get political problems, no matter what you do. If you go in, you get political problems. If you don't get in, there are some problems. And some of the problems, I would think, if he doesn't go in, would be that there were, that's why I want to get some more of this language, but that there was a general idea of coordination between Britain and America. The British then decided not to go in. Germans, meanwhile, had accepted, and therefore the idea collapsed.
But now, when talking to the Germans, has it been generally expected by the Germans that we will be in it?
I think there has been. Yeah, I think that's anticipated. But I would have to get notes of the conversation. I don't think we committed you to anything, but I think they assume that, just as soon as they assume. I think they assume it's going to be the United States, Britain, Germany, and Italy. Just saying, I'm trying to get all that stuff just so I can get it clear in my mind.
Yes, sir.
That's all.
Well, dear friend.
We haven't heard from our other dear friend.
Something in London.
We haven't heard from our other dear friend, Kay. Appreciate it. You got a letter for me?
No, it's saying the same one about stopping off.
Oh, well, what I thought about stopping off is the way to do it, just so that I don't get. I don't know what Max talked to you about it is, that perhaps what the thing to do would be to say nothing about my going there so it isn't a publicized thing, so that we listen to the drumbeat of the commentators for a month about surrounding French and all the rest. But that the last few days, or almost while I'm going to Italy there, Madam would come up, and she would have something to talk about, and then we would agree that I would, when I left Ireland on Saturday, Friday night or Saturday, and then fly over to England and spend the day or the night, depending on our time, the Prime Minister, and then leave and go home.
It'd be easier that way around, yeah.
It would, only because I've sort of told them, I've told told the...
I told Dennis that the president has a long day in Berlin. He wants to get to Dublin before dark. And there really isn't any probably way to stop.
That's impossible.
That seems to me to be the, even though it isn't geographically a straight line, it seems to me to be a little more...
50 minutes distance, either way.
Exactly. You see, if I were going to do it the other way, then we'd have to announce it right now, because my Irish part of my address is going to have to be more or less. That's right. So that's why I thought if we went at the end, that just has the matter...
And you're getting this too open for you, too.
No, I don't
the
think
last we didn't say the word.
Not bad.
As I was here.
Or a few days before.
Yeah.
Just as we wouldn't... Think about it so that the map would be Italy, Germany, Britain, which seems to be ridiculous. What does your view of that?
No, I think that's
just something that I
think that's very good, but I just wonder whether you find that too difficult.
I think it's easier than my doing it now. You know, it's like Lippmann had that argument the other day, why don't we go to France? I think we would just have, we don't have anything else to write about. We have a month to say, well, if we can go to Britain, why can't we go to France? Problems seem to be more dangerous, but I think if we sort of the last few days we have some problem and therefore we tie it to some matter, nuclear testing or economic policy or whatever it is, and then we'll keep it just the schedule as is until that time. It'll just be you and I, the Prime Minister, and Mac. What is your view?
I think that's absolutely fine. That'll be on the Saturday.
It looks now as if the president's government visit would run from Wednesday night to Friday night, runs to Saturday morning, something like that.
Yeah.
So he'd be coming over Saturday.
So he'd stay Saturday night.
What I'll do is keep you informed when we get the picture.
What does paragraph 7 mean? Returning to Polaris, the president...
Paragraph 6.
The Prime Minister suggested that the president agrees that for the immediate future, stock could be made by subscribing... NATO, some part of the forces already in existence. This could include allocations from United States strategic forces, from the United Kingdom Bomber Command, and from tactical nuclear forces now held in Europe. Such forces would be assigned as part of a NATO nuclear force and targeted in accordance with NATO plans. Returning to Polaris, the President and the Prime Minister agreed that the purpose of their two governments, with respect to the provision of the Polaris missiles, must be the development of a monolateral NATO nuclear force in the closest consultation with other NATO allies. That doesn't mean by much, does it? Accordingly, the President and the Prime Minister agreed that the U.S. would make available on a continuing basis Polaris missile reservoir of a British submarine. In the United States, we're going to study the feasibility of making available certain support facilities for such submarines. The U.K. will construct the submarines in which these will be named by the British Forever. These forces, and at least equal U.S. forces, would be made available for inclusion in the NATO monolateral nuclear force. Right. I think that your argument is right. I don't know why we use this language. Why do we say monolateral instead of multinational?
We hadn't developed the sharpness of phrasing the schemes then that we did since, Mr.
You see, it was just thought of that there'd be a NATO force in which various people would contribute. Some would contribute national contingency, U.S. national contingency, U.K., and hopefully a French national contingent. And then in addition, there was discussion about the advisability of having a mixed manned force, because this would bring in the Germans, and this would also be part of what was then still termed a multilateral force.
But we obviously had in mind the Germans, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think if we look at the record, we'll find a good deal about mixed manned forces, which I think you'll find a good deal about.
Excision 2. 4 seconds excised.
That this memorandum sort of bears, it's so vague and bears out, obviously. But I have the impression that we had these multinational for the French, the British, the American, the multilateral, which is the mixed band.
I think, suppose what you're doing is to throw the clarity of January back into December. It is clear.
I know that we're much more clear about the multilateral than we were, but I don't know what it is we were offering the Germans then. We know we had something in about the Germans. There was a lot of stuff from Washington and all that
you
stuff.
About Chancellor.
That's right. Well, we wrote it, but what did we send George Ball over for?
You kept on saying that you believed that there was a lot to be said for this mixed man force. This would be a way of bringing
I'd like to have somebody. Will you have somebody go through the whole conversation and whatever else notes, whatever the press wrote out of there? Let's just see, just for our own thing about where we, what we had in mind.
Excision 3. 1 second excised.
So that's the subject discussed. But I would think that the Prime Minister feels he left you with the impression that we were too enthusiastic, that we would certainly
support you. I'm sure I agree with that. I certainly agree with that.
But we would support you if you thought that this was a good
idea. What we want is we want the British here. So now we've got a private government. Not in a question like private. Saying, well, you agree to it, but rather just making that the arguments are better to have them in than out. But I think we ought to get up a case.
Well, George suggested he might go over to London next week. I'll put this back to London. I think that might be a bit quick. I think if we're going to ask ministers in London to look at the whole thing again.
There's no hurry. But I think that here's what I think we ought to do is go through all our stuff to see how far it is. It's sort of British have committed at NASA or so on subsequently. Then, in addition, let's just put the case for coming in and the case for and what will happen if the British stay out, advantages and disadvantages, and then we have the argument. Then it's possible that I may write the Prime Minister about it in 2 days.
How have your people been thinking about, perhaps you don't know, that the multilateral force, in terms of the German readiness to take part, in terms of the services agreeing on mixed manning, is really a workable concept, has moved a considerable distance in the last month or so. I don't know whether the cabinet have ever thought hard what their position would be if the thing looked like coming into being, whether they've reached the point you described in your own thing.
Having talked to the President over the weekend, I sent back a little message saying that I don't quite understand what the present government's position is on mixed manning force, and I think it's very important that before the President sets off for Europe, he should know from the Prime Minister exactly what the British attitude is to the mixed manned force. And indicating that I thought it was certainly taken almost for granted that if this thing does come into being, we would take sides.
Well, now here's this, Mr. Ball. Now, we are in a position now where we've offered the French government exactly what we offered the British government. There's no discrimination. What is more, we have agreed with the British government that we will work together towards the creation of a multilateral force in which there can be some participation by the other NATO members as well as the nuclear powers. It seems to me that this underlines this point that we had this thing in mind.
I think the other thing that's worth...
However, I think we ought to research it.
I will.
But anyway, the point is, how do we... I don't know whether the Labour Party would oppose this. I don't know how Wilson would argue about it and talked about it. You know, it's the sort of thing you can easily say, well, what sense has it got and everything. But I'm not...
In 2 minds, I don't have a lot of sympathy with his party over it. First of all, it means saying, we're getting out of nuclear weapons, not from Britain, but nevertheless we're going in on a mixed band basis. And the other thing trouble he's going to give you is regards to German participation. He's made some pretty forthright speeches about not having the Germans connected in any way with nuclear weapons. But by the end of his time here, he was sort of backpedaling and saying it was something that ought to be looked at, but it would be very difficult to make any decisions until one had the responsibility and so on. I think if the attitude of the Social Democrats in Germany will have considerable effect.
There's quite a lot of flow back and forth.
I think
if Brandt were for it?
If Brandt were for it, I think it would be very difficult for Labour Party against it. And if they weren't against it, then of course it would make it much easier for the Prime Minister.
Of course, we don't want to get into the ridiculous thing of everybody being fired because the other person they think will upset the other person if they're not
fired. That is right, Mr. President. That's why the thing comes back over and over again with the question, do the Germans really want to do this? Does this really help the Germans to behave?
Well, we keep saying it does, as I say, if it doesn't, they may not. Of course, I think there was a strong push for this, really, some months ago, than there is now. I think Strauss, I think Adenauer.
I think then you had that Strauss-Adenauer set up.
And then you had that New York Times, Sidney Gruson and others writing those daily stories out of Bonn, and then we had the emphasis on our new strategy. You had Norstad's change, and you had a lot of feeling that maybe the United States wouldn't use the weapons. De Gaulle was making a good deal more headway, it seemed to me, with the argument that the United States word wasn't good. Since Cuba, since Strauss went, since Adenauer's power declined, and all the rest, perhaps lessened. But if we're not going to do the Maldonado force, we've got to think of a goddamn good way to get out of it. Otherwise,
just more. If we don't do it, we're left with De Gaulle plowing right ahead. This is the real.
We don't really have any answer then to De Gaulle, do we? Well, maybe we don't need it. I just think, kind of think about if we don't do it.
I think earlier on we were always slightly of the school that the pressure from the Germans wasn't as great as some people made out, and Sticker was always crying wolf, wolf, and still does to some extent. He said, well, the fact that Strauss has gone, there are lots of other people who were working closely with Strauss who really have exactly the same views.
Sticker, of course, is motivated by a different thing, which is the Norstat shape.
He feels that if we don't get this, we'll get a request for missiles in Europe, you know, like Norstat wants.
That's actually a very good point with us. We were very much opposed to the MRBM. So if it can be shown that by accepting the surface missiles, you eliminate the secular demands of the MRBM, this would be a great...
We're going to get a good argument up, and then we'll see how it looks on here. All the arguments. But I just think it's, without being too expensive, you know, it's one of those things where it's enough to sort of keep the attention of the alliance for two or three or four years. Otherwise, it seems to me you really haven't got...
It takes you through the 60s to the missile problem, which is...
Exactly, yeah, and with still some options open about finally eliminating other nuclear forces except the multilateral and the American. Yeah. And at some stage, the national ones might all drop out. You'd be left with a mixed man and the American, which would be very much better over for you.
Well, the Prime Minister, he feels...
Sir Winston, we hope, can't hear you.
His remark
is he's got a very good mouthpiece, hasn't he? That speech on the press was goddamn good yesterday. Did you read it?
No.
The Washington Post opposite the editorial page about the army made speech to the American and the American press correspondents over there about the outrage, the laws of libel, a very good thing. It is true that freedom of the press is for freedom of the publishers. But anyway, you kick the hell out of all the publishers. What about, I was going to ask you about the Prime Minister as conscious of all the problems with the general and all the rest. He doesn't see any situation is any worse if we meet or don't meet. He doesn't feel that that's this problem of looking like I'm deliberately attempting to do something adverse to the interests of France will not make the French more recalcitrant than they are. You know, what is your personal judgment?
Give David away, Mr. President, say that when he and I first talked about this letter, the Prime Minister, he was not entirely a sound British representative, but he could see some hazards to it.
On the other hand, I
think down in that way at the last moment, I mean, I think that minimizes the trouble.
Otherwise, I think we've got to do it this way. Otherwise, well, I was invited with Britain, and then I said one of the reasons I wasn't going to France was his turn to come here. Well, the fact is, the Prime Minister didn't say, well, you went to British Raj, why should he come here? So we just end up. So I would think that we ought to just have it, the plan ought to be just as limited as this. In fact, I wouldn't even put it over the State Department at this point.
I think if you have allowed, I'll tell you that I think you'd be most grateful to that, because I think it's really.
Why don't we cast around in our minds for some sort of virtuous, high-minded reason for meeting that is good for everybody?
I think you'll find if we do it right, it will be not particularly meeting up there. We'll be doing it at the last minute. I'm going to Ireland, which will be a much more dramatic, and if this will be, we're going over to... While we're there, I think we can just play it that way, and if we do the time right, I think it will be comparatively...
I think innocuous.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so.
British, Mr. President, David and I are going to have a talk about it. I don't know whether you want to say anything about it before we do.
Well, I think that message I gave you is is the one I...
Excision 4. 6 minutes, 23 seconds excised.